Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Also, writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can check out, actually right now, a lot of good writing and analysis on Jahlil Okafor, someone we're going to talk about today on this Monday edition of Locked On Pelicans. It was actually a busy weekend overall, with the Pelicans playing a game on Friday, winning up north in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. We'll talk about that game a little bit as well. Last night, they took on the Sacramento Kings, lost at the end there, despite some almost heroics from Anthony Davis. Disappointing loss. There's a lot to kind of take away from that. More with Buddy Hield and the awful play that he had. If you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. We'll talk about the impact that had on the game, the impact DeMarcus Cousins had on the game. And also, the trade deadline, I don't know what the right word for it is right now. All of a sudden, I'm blanking. But the trade deadline kind of started a little bit early with a move getting made that will impact the Pelicans a little bit, at least, when it comes to standings, when it comes to maybe a player they were targeting, had conversations with, supposedly, or at least you would assume they did. And so we're going to talk pretty much about all of that and more on this Monday edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's just jump right into it today and talk about the two games, because I think the trade deadline is a much more interesting topic. So the Timberwolves win, the Pelicans had. They beat the Timberwolves 122-106. And frankly, this was all about Anthony Davis. He's got something personal against Karl-Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves, but it's mainly Karl-Anthony Towns. Davis posted a 42-13 line, and he has just absolutely gone off on Towns and the Timberwolves whenever they played, as long as Towns has been there. So clearly he's got something against the former Kentucky player, also number one overall pick. You know, Towns this year in the GM survey, more GMs picked that they would start a team with Towns over Anthony Davis after Anthony Davis won it the year before. Did get some help in this game from Drew Holiday, who had 25 points, 12 assists, a lot of turnovers, unfortunately, from him. But not as bad as he limited, you know, as the Pels limited the damage that could have been done there. As a team, though, they did have 21 total turnovers, but did hold Minnesota only 20 points off of those turnovers. So not live ball turnovers. Their turnovers are going out of bounds, so the Pels can get back and get set on defense. It makes it a little bit easier to defend. Doesn't hurt as much as when you turn it over, and it leads to a fast break transition point there. Minnesota on the night only had 7 transition points. Not live ball turnovers. Still not good. They end possessions, but not nearly as bad as what they could have been. Pels had a big first quarter. Minnesota had the big first quarter, sorry, scoring 40. It was the Pels who came on strong in the second, third, and really fourth as they came alive. So we're used to slow starts from this Pelicans team. But frankly, this one was just Davis doing his Davis thing. Karl-Anthony Towns actually had a good game too, 36 points, held to just 8 rebounds. I think it's the first time he's gone above 30 against the Pelicans. So Davis has pretty much bested him by far, every time they've dueled. So it was nice to see. Good win for the Pels, needed to get one, kind of limited everyone else. Andrew Wiggins did Andrew Wiggins thing, scored 29. Solomon Hill's defense was a bit lacking at times in this game, a bit disappointing there. But overall, it was a good win for the Pelicans. Davis, you know, showed why he's a dominant big in the league. And that's what you want to see out of him. He rises to the occasion of a game that matters to him. If now only the Pels can get a player on the 29 or 28 other teams in the league to piss Davis off, maybe you'll see this type of performance, you know, night in, night out, even though he's kind of been doing that all year long. So you go from a pretty nice win to a pretty disappointing loss, and that's going to be the game against the Kings last night, where the Pelicans fell 105-99 in a close game, a game that kind of went down to it toward late in the game. But unfortunately, Pels just didn't have enough. They actually had a lead at halftime of this game, and then gave up a 9-0 run to start the second quarter before Gentry took a quick timeout. And that kind of just swung the game, you know, broke the game open. But what really swung the game was a couple of things that happened in the first half. One was DeMarcus Cousins picking up a technical foul after they reviewed it, wasn't ruled a flagrant. Went to the locker room, it looked like, to just calm himself down some and just chill out. You all know the stories about him. He actually leads the league in technicals right now. And I think he's going to be suspended. I forget if it's for this one or if he picks up another one, because after a certain number, you start earning suspensions. He has already earned that. So hot-headed guy. That's why he's always the talk of trade rumors. Why I talked about this team, the Kings, being a dysfunctional team the other day on Friday's podcast. So this game here, he goes, leaves the game. Pels run out to a lead. He calms down, comes back in. And then you have Buddy Hield's very odd play. And you can kind of see what he was trying to do, but it just was so off that I have no idea what was going on. So if you haven't seen a clip of it yet, it's already out there on Twitter. You can find it. Buddy Hield trying to chase a ball handler, I forget who it was, around a DeMarcus Cousins screen. He goes above the screen. And usually what an NBA player does in this case is you kind of, to make that turn coming around the screen to chase the guy from behind, you kind of grab onto the player, usually their hip somewhere around there, their side, and use that kind of as an anchor point to turn. Here, Buddy Hield goes in, and his arm is like full-on outstretched, not close to his body, and he's coming tight off of this screen, so you don't exactly know what he's thinking here. Arm is outstretched, goes right into the crotchal region of DeMarcus Cousins, like full-on. Looks like he's going like an uppercut in there almost, kind of. And not the best play out of the Pelicans rookie. The game was stopped. They called a flagrant 2, and Buddy Hield was ejected. And I'm blanking on the flagrant 2 rules right now. He might be suspended for another game. I have no idea what he was thinking there. If you're trying to come off of the screen and use that as the anchor point to turn, you don't go with your arm outstretched like that. That's, I think, one of the reasons. Like I said, if they reviewed it, they stopped the game to take a look at this and review it and see what they thought it was, whether it was a flagrant 1, flagrant 2, or just a tech and no intent there. But clearly the refs thought there was intent. And looking at it multiple times, I can't say I disagree with it. You don't need to go in with your arm outstretched. And then the game kind of broke open, so Buddy Hield gets ejected. Kings go on a run to close the gap. They, were only down, I think it was, sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit here, down 3 at halftime, as opposed to, it was like 9 before that, I think. Then they come out, go on a 9-0 run, and there you go. You know, losing Buddy Hield just, it kind of changed the game for the Pels. From that, they had to start Drew Holiday at shooting guard. Tim Frazier was coming out playing point guard for them. The Pels in both these past two games, I think I talked about it on Friday, were shorthanded, where didn't have Etuan Moore due to personal, Alexi Ajinsa due to personal reasons, and Terrence Jones was out with a thumb injury. At least Tyreke Evans played in this game, played 15 minutes, but frankly, the Pels just got not enough scoring. You had Anthony Davis with 32 points and 10 rebounds. So he was getting bested a little bit by DeMarcus Cousins in the post, and that's going to transition into the next thing we're going to talk about in a moment here. And then you had Dante Cunningham hit 4 of 7 threes, which was really nice. He scored 14 points. Drew Holiday put up 16 points, 11 assists. And that's all the Pels in double figures, just three. Not what you want. That's not going to get you wins. They are an offensively challenged team. Meanwhile, you know, you have, DeMarcus Cousins go for 28 points, 14 rebounds. Like I said, besting Anthony Davis in the post. And you can see he was just getting kind of shoved around. Davis wants to play the four. The team clearly wants him to be at a four as well because of games like this. And hence why you hear more rumors about Jahlil Okafor. So Okafor with the 76ers, you know, I talked about him last week throughout it. He was supposed to be starting for the Sixers against the Miami Heat on Saturday. However, he got pulled, got a DNP coach's decision because they don't worry. They're worried about him getting injured before a trade. This is a common thing where a player in trade talks, in advanced trade talks, who's just been traded, will not suit up and play for their current team. You saw it with Kyle Korver this year, actually. He was shaking hands, supposedly, with Sixers personnel, basically looking like he is going to be traded any minute. And then more rumors coming out saying, Okafor is the two front runners for him are the Bulls and the Pelicans. And they're more in an advanced stage of talks than that was last week. And that's no surprise. You know, there was no need for Philly to trade him right away, trade him closer to the deadline. Maybe you get a little bit more interest. A team gets desperate and bids a little bit more for his services. But over the weekend, you did see some teams kind of get ruled out of the sweepstakes. Is that what you'd call it for this guy? For Jahlil Okafor, the Jahlil Okafor sweepstakes. There was a deal that went down. The Plumlee, I forget if it's Miles or Mason, they're all M's. Was traded from Portland to the Denver Nuggets for Yusuf Nurkic and a future first and also a second-round pick going to the Nuggets as well. So a trade of centers there with, you know, the Plumlee being a little bit more established, playing a little bit more, and Nurkic kind of being overshadowed by Nikola Jokic there in Denver as the better of the two bigs. So Nurkic on the move. He's 22. He's pretty good. He's the same age as Buddy Hield. So he's still got a lot of upside for people who kind of want to shoot him down. And he's good. You have to figure the Pelicans called about him to at least inquire. The fact that he was packaged with a first-round pick is a bit surprising. But the Pels wouldn't have really been able to give anything up that much unless you're going to include Drew Holiday there. You're probably going to move Drew Holiday for Nurkic in a first-round pick, but I don't think that's what the Pels want to do. I think they want to move that 2018 pick for a center to pair alongside Anthony Davis. Nurkic would have been a good fit here. I'm not big on Plumlee, really, but Nurkic would have been. That would have been nice. Like I said, you have to figure the Pels called about him. Maybe they were more interested in other assets, what have you, getting at least another center back. But that kicks off basically the NBA trade deadline. Dominoes start to fall right now. That takes two teams that were rumored, though Denver was a weird one, to say interested in Okafor. You have to figure that Portland's not going to try and move and trade for two centers, leaving really just the Bulls and the Pelicans that we've heard about as front runners. So you have to figure the Pelicans should be able to get a deal done. That 2018 pick should be at least worthy of Okafor. It sounds like it was just protection so far that's delayed the deal. And the fact that they probably were trying to get Drew Holiday and make a much bigger package. But from what I understand and what people I've talked to, Holiday's not really on the table unless they can kind of get blown away by an offer that they like. So, you know, it sounds like whatever the core of this team is going to be, Davis, Holiday, assuming they try and re-sign him, and you have to figure they would if they're not going to deal him. So Holiday, Davis, Hield, in whatever young center they bring in, so let's say Okafor, in this situation. So most likely, you wouldn't be shocked if a deal gets done over All-Star Weekend, which is coming up. We'll talk a little bit about that on the podcast this week. Should be a lot of fun here in New Orleans, especially if you live here. Just go out, wander around downtown. You're going to see NBA players. It's pretty cool in that regards. But potentially imminent trade for the Pelicans coming up. So we'll wrap it up there for Monday's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget they play the Suns tonight, Monday night in Phoenix. Hopefully can get another win, at least keep themselves in playoff contention as they get closer to the trade deadline. Maybe, you know, bringing a center sounds like it's not assuredly going to happen, but is likely on in the cards here. And then you have to figure they also want to make at least another move, get some sort of scoring on this team as well. So thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans today. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Give the podcast a follow at Locked On Pels as well. And don't forget to check out bourbonstreetshots.com, where there's a lot of good breakdowns and analysis on Jahlil Okafor, maybe a future Pelican. We'll find out. No matter what, I'll have analysis of that trade if and when it goes down for you. We'll probably have an emergency podcast that day. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.